This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1502. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all, shortwave. On this edition, recorded March 4th, future plans from Australia, Guyana, Liberia, Greenville. DX News from Bhutan, Peru, Vanuatu, Chile still on shortwave. More jamming from China, Ethiopia, program news from China and Turkey. Mystery Saw from Honduras, Zanzibar, harmonics from Russia and Pennsylvania. Targeting Somalia, Ethiopia, Sudan and Djibouti, and the propagation outlook. John O'Wright in New South Wales tells me that at the field day in Wyong for the Australian Radio DX Club, he happened to meet Craig Allen, who holds a license for what may be Australia's next shortwave station on 3210 kilohertz. We've heard about these plans before. Apparently he has acquired the 1 kilowatt transmitter, formerly at HCJB in Pifo, Ecuador, and it's to be installed west of Sydney. He has the land and is planning to put up an antenna shortly. Not sure what the station will be called, but keep an ear for the new Australian outlet on 3210. The new February issue of the revived Union of Asian DXers Bulletin has been put out on the web by editor Victor Gunatelica for all to read. It's so far dealing only with South Asia, including Bhutan. This came from Partasarathi Goswami in India. The Bhutan broadcasting system is very irregular on 6035. Some days it opened at 0130, other days at 0100. Furthermore, it sometimes went off the air at 0600 and sometimes stayed on the air all the way until 1500. There are English hours at 05 and 08, should you be close enough to hear them at those times. There used to be an English hour also at 14, although they do not mention that one. All we can suggest is that you keep trying. They apparently are having transmitter and or problems with the power supply. However, on February 28th, Victor Gunatelica in Sri Lanka said they had a strong signal. Possibly they've revived their new transmitter, and they were on the air as early as midnight 50 UT on 6035. The huge earthquake in Chile was, of course, the big news of the week, but unlike Haiti a few weeks earlier, there was not such a big impact on broadcasting. It seems many of the Chilean stations were able to continue, and there wasn't much shortwave there in the first place. However, there is a transmitter site at Calera de Tango, which is southwest of Santiago, which is, I think, quite close to the zone most affected by the quake. That's the one operated by CVC, or Christian Vision. Still broadcasting some of its own programs on shortwave and relaying some from HCJB. So as soon as we heard about the quake, we checked their daytime frequency 17680, which is in Spanish, aimed back toward Mexico and us, and yes, it was still on the air with its usual good signal. And they had preempted regular programming to report live about the quake, which had happened a few hours earlier, although we can't imagine they're actually originating anything in Chile, but instead from their usual studios in Miami. 17680, and the following days went back to more normal programming. Lots of gospel rock. Later that evening, Stefan Schei in Germany confirmed that the German broadcast of HCJB via Chile on 9835 was still on the air at 2300. Kai Ludwig was wondering how much damage. There must have been some damage to the transmitter site. He was told that there was only minor damage to the building. A greater problem was the staff. Some of the engineers were privately affected by the quake. And then we got this message from Antonio Reyes, the general manager of Voz Cristiana in Chile, dated March 2nd, or was it 3rd, which he sent to the CVC family. And Michael Lindner put it on the ADX group in Austria. And thanks to Wolfgang Büschel for sending it on to us. He did write in English. He says, I'm writing from the CV shortwave site at Calera de Tango, Santiago, Chile, after the big earthquake. The situation is a bit complicated in the cities. because public transport and communications are not working properly, and there's a lack of electricity and water in many places. It's been very difficult for me to get in contact with the rest of the team. But within hours, it has been possible to contact enough people to get on the transmitters. Some of the personnel haven't been able to come to work because they are affected and are afraid of more earthquakes after the main one, which we feel very often. At the site, there's a lot of glass in the structure and in the offices, but just one big glass has broken and some small damage in the building. Personnel are afraid of coming and leaving their families alone. Until now, I haven't heard about personal damage to some members of the team or their families, thank God. Finally, some of the technicians who live near the site will be able to follow the transmissions until 10 p.m. local time as normal. Thanks to Sergio, Antonio Suazo, and Ariel, who were able to stay. We hope tomorrow morning to be able to start transmissions as normal at 8 a.m., but it will depend on transportation availability. We hope the city will slowly come to normal, but we will try to stay on as much as possible with CVC and HCJB transmissions. It seems like we've been noting more jamming from China, although it would take a lot of time and effort to pin down all those frequencies and figure out which ones are jamming and which ones are legitimate. But Keith Perron in Taiwan reminds us that jamming season is coming soon from China. There will be an increase of jamming, both Firedrake and putting local stations on shortwave, because the annual Communist Party Congress is just around the corner, starting in early or mid-March. And this increased jamming usually continues until the end of March or early April. We have been hearing the music only Firedrake jamming on some new frequencies, or it may have just replaced the other type of jamming, CNR1 programming, around 13 to 14 UT on March 2nd on 7560, 9365, 9380, 11500, and 11540. Furthermore, according to Keith Perron, China will be activating two new transmitter sites by June, which will be used for jamming. The locations are Qinghai, about 100 kilometers outside Xining City, and Guizhou, some 70 kilometers outside Guiyang City. Each site will house four transmitters, and the antennas are Chinese copies of Thales Group Alice antennas. Those are the big rotatable curtains. The power output is suggested to be 300 or 500 kilowatts. They will use Firedrake and echo jamming with CNR1 programming, as well as local stations as audio source. Since more than one single hour per day of English language programming is produced in China, there have been some changes in what we actually hear on the shortwave relays from China Radio International. Richard Cuff from the Shortwave Programs Group has been in contact with audience relations, and he says the schedule which now applies for English language shortwave broadcasts is the one labeled Round the Clock. It includes China Drive, the Beijing Hour, and People in the Know, although the old news and reports programming may still be appearing at certain times. On March 1st, just before 06 UT, via the Sackville Relay 6190, I heard a British-accented lady, Susan Osman. She identified herself. She's the one who quit BBC in a huff in December, saying that there was a culture of ageism at the BBC in order to take a job hosting what was called a breakfast radio show in Beijing. And this program was the Beijing Hour. A later press report quoted her as saying that she found out that the Chinese do not exactly understand what news really is. Following up last week's news about a clandestine for Djibouti, we in fact heard it. It's a weekly broadcast on Thursdays only between 15:30 and 16:30 on 15165. In fact, reception here was quite good. It started out in Somali, and the last third or so of the hour had switched to French. It's called La Voix de Djibouti, and that's their website, as spelled in French, .com. We're still not certain what the transmitter site is, however, as it's not in any of the listings. We also had reports of it from a number of other members of the DX Listening Digest group. Bruce Fisher in Massachusetts and several in Europe. Dave Kenny in the UK, Mauno Ritola and Jari Savolainen in Finland, also Dave Koenig in the UK, and Eric Kuya in Denmark. Usually there's nothing to be heard from Latin America in the evenings on 5010, although two stations are listed. However, Saturday evening, February 27th, there was something on the air at 2345, reported by Jerry Strawman in Iowa. He figured it was probably Radio Misiones Internacional in Honduras. 5010 is a strange frequency for them, as it is the sesquiharmonic of their usual frequency, 3340. However, there's the other Latin American, I think, is just as likely, if not more so, Radio Cristal Internacional in the Dominican Republic. And that's the one reported by Ed Vlodarski later that same evening to the NASA flash sheet, midnight 54 to 0120 UT. Although, I am not seeing anyone actually quoting a definite ID. I checked the following few evenings and did not hear anything, so this may be very irregular, or perhaps a Saturday night special, worth checking again at least on Saturday night from 2300 onwards into UT Sunday on 5010. And don't forget Madagascar, which is also on that frequency, but USB only, and has been known to run on into their night on rare occasions. Wolfgang Büscher in Germany was checking the Monday-only broadcast of EOTC Holy Synod Radio, which is a religious broadcast into Ethiopia. Some might consider it clandestine, as apparently the Ethiopians do, because after it started at 16 UT on 15195 via the Samara site in Russia, noise jamming came on about 3 minutes later, and it covered about 15 kilohertz, and it was quite heavy, he says, although it was not so severe as monitored in Finland by Jari Savolainen. We've heard from Jamie Labadia. You may not have heard of him, but you've heard his work. It seems he builds transmitters for shortwave stations in exotic areas, and we'll have more than one item from him as we go through the alphabet. First about Guyana. He says, I'll be going down there in a month or so to get 3290 and 5950 on the air. You may recall that there were reports a few weeks ago that Guyana would be reactivating shortwave. He says they'd requested the wrong 5 megahertz frequency, so I built the transmitter for 5290. I will have it sorted out within a couple of months. One of our mysteries from last week has now been cleared up. The extremely distorted Spanish I was hearing a couple of evenings on 3290 or 3287 kilohertz, signed off at 0355. I figured it was one of the Honduran missionary stations on 90 meters, except it was very much out of order on the wrong frequency and putting out all that distortion. I was never able to pull a definite ID, but David Crawford in Florida says he was able to get an ID as Radio Luz y Vida. That's the one which is supposed to be on 3250. I've not heard it since in any event, and Bob Wilkner in Florida says as of UT March 3rd, they were back on their correct frequency, 3250, heard at midnight 46. We are in the midst of World of Radio number 1502. Check our website for a lot more info, worldofradio.org. Our thanks this week for financial support go to Tim Hendel in Alabama, who sent a check in the mail to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702, USA. One may also contribute by PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. We're pleased to report that another U.S. shortwave station has invited World of Radio to join its schedule, WWRB in Manchester, Tennessee. Dave France used to carry us on his initial station, WGTG, as you may remember. Our time on WWRB is Thursday evening at 10:30 Central Time. That's UT Fridays at 04:30. However, that'll switch one UT hour earlier in a couple of weeks when daylight shifting time has started already in North America. Then we'll be at 03:30 UT Fridays on 3185 kilohertz. That is one of their lowest frequencies, which means it should have the best coverage of North America during the nighttime hours and at convenient evening times in all our four main time zones. We'll be interested to hear how well you can hear World of Radio at that new time. And thanks to Dave France for inviting us on. He says he's been working on upgrading WWRB programming, getting rid of anti-Semitic and political shows by attrition, and requiring infomercials wanting time to post surety bonds, which none have been willing to do. That is suspicious. Not only broadcasters, but also utility stations can show up on the wrong frequency for some reason or other. We have two reports of Israel's Navy coastal station 4XZ, Haifa Radio, well known to utility DXers, but on a strange frequency, exactly 6,000 kilohertz in the 49-meter broadcast band, interfering with, Radio Havana. David Hodgson in Tennessee was hearing it February 27th at 22:25, running their CW marker over and over, although he did not hear any actual contacts, as we expect ships would not really have been monitoring that frequency. And it was heard about the same date by Terry Kruger in Florida at 04:26, also interfering with Havana in English. Here's another note from shortwave transmitter builder Jamie Lavadia. In regards to Liberia, Star Radio, I'm not sure what the status is. It takes a while to get through customs, so that I doubt they are on yet. The frequency of the transmitter you built is 4025. He says, chances are I'll travel there to get them on the air. I'll keep you posted. Yes, Star Radio is the one which used to broadcast via VTC facilities on Ascension Island at 07UT back into Liberia, but now they're getting their own transmitter to be on 4025. After finally getting on a clear frequency the previous weekend via Pridnestrovia, the clandestine from Madagascar, Radio Mada International, was missing the following weekend, February 27th and 28th, from its Saturday and Sunday broadcasts at 15:30 on 15660. We understand the transmission has not been canceled, so we don't know what the problem is. Maybe they'll be back this week on that frequency at those times. Also a no-show was Voice of Southern Azerbaijan, or whatever that NID station was, on 13645, heard the previous Friday and Saturday at 1600 to 1700. I guess we can keep trying on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday in case something shows up on that frequency. According to the World Radio TV Handbook, there are only three medium wave frequencies in use in the entire country of Myanmar, although they're of considerable power. But a fourth was heard by Joe's Jacob in India on February 26th, around 23UT, 693 kilohertz, Myanmar. A bad choice, as its neighbor Bangladesh is also operating on that channel with a megawatt. Why would Myanmar pick that of all frequency unless maybe they're trying to jam Bangladesh? Last week we reported that Radio Altura had reactivated in Peru on 5014+. Brian Clark in New Zealand found it was in fact on the air with an extended schedule. A full ID in Spanish at 0509, February 25th. Rarely heard at that time, so maybe it was caused by a special event. He measured it on 5014.33. And after hearing that third harmonic from Peru I mentioned last week, Radio Victoria on 18057.9, I heard it again a few more days when the solar flux was cooperating, but that spurred me to search carefully further up the 18 megahertz band for more harmonics, and I did hear some more. For example, on 18450, there was something in a South Asian language, which would be the third harmonic of 6150. It turned out to be a family radio transmission, as I heard their theme music later on. And that transmission is listed as in Punjabi via the Krasnodar site in Russia. Another new target broadcast has started for Somalia as of March 1st. It's called Barkulan Radio, Barkulan. Thanks to Chris Greenway for finding out details about it in advance. It's at 16 to 17 UT on 9960 via South Africa. A number of us, including myself, were able to hear that initial broadcast on March 1st. And there's another one in the morning, which I've not yet seen confirmed, at 05 to 06 UT via the UAE site on 15750. Barkulan is translated as meaning everywhere, that is, a radio for Somalis and by Somalis everywhere in the world. Even though the person in charge of it hardly has a Somali name or complexion, David Smith. The 16 UT transmission on 9960 actually started a few minutes earlier with the recognizable VTC interval music, reported by Seichi Hasegawa in Japan, Jari Savolainen in Finland, Mike Baraclough in the UK, Alokesh Gupta in India. Another new broadcast that recently started at the same hour, 16 UT on 17700. At first, DX Mix News in Bulgaria thought that one would become the new Somali service, but in fact, that frequency is carrying, they say, the Southern Sudan Interactive Radio Instruction Program. However, others of us have heard IDs as SRS, the Sudan Radio Service, although not parallel to 17745 via Portugal, which has been on the air for some time. So there's a bit of confusion there, but those two stations are closely related. And it seems someone is jamming one of the many other target services to Sudan, Radio Dabanga. But this jamming is unusual. It's just a 1 kilohertz tone, which I've been hearing whenever I tune to 13800, which is Dabanga transmitted via Madagascar, between 1530 and 1727. It's not a heterodyne, but a tone putting out what amounts to a carrier 1 kilohertz above and below 13800. This could have been something innocent, but then I see a report in Australian DX News from John Adams in Victoria that the morning transmission of Radio Dabanga, which is also on 13800, but from a different site, the UAE, also has what he calls a horrible heterodyne at 0506 UT. This one is parallel to 7315 via France. We love the music on the Voice of Turkey, especially during their Turkish language service. And we were wondering exactly when do they have programs which are primarily musical. Mustafa Çankurt in Turkey was kind enough to translate their entire program schedule, the titles of each program, into English, and points out the ones which do deal with music. Unfortunately, they are at inconvenient times for live monitoring in North America, 0905 to 10 UT on Saturday and Sunday, and daily from 10:05 until 11. But if you can hear the Voice of Turkey at those hours, other places, such as in Europe, the frequencies are 15480 and 15350, and also during the first hour on 11925. Gaz of South Hearts Radio in the UK, which is mainly webcasting and includes World of Radio on their schedule, tells us that there are occasional shortwave broadcasts at low power. You can try for World of Radio Sunday at 12:30 on 6215 or Wednesday at 20:30 on 3935. As we first reported a few weeks ago, the Broadcasting Board of Governors proposed budget for the next fiscal year wants to close down the last shortwave site of the VOA and other services within the borders of the U.S., Greenville, North Carolina, by the end of this fiscal year, September 30th. However, it's not for certain yet, so I suggest we should try to persuade Congress not to allow the Greenville shortwave station to be closed down. We might emphasize the long-term value of the U.S. retaining an active international shortwave broadcasting facility within its own borders and under its direct control. All the other relays are subject to restrictions by the host countries, or they could even be closed down in an emergency. you could write to your congressperson and senators along these lines. And there are two of them in North Carolina who are directly concerned with Greenville. The one representing the district where Greenville is located is Congressman Jones. Apparently the only one with that name. You can find his website at jones.house.gov. And you might also write to one of the North Carolina senators, Burr, burr.senate.gov. WWCR has made yet another frequency change affecting the Saturday evening broadcast of World of Radio, UT Sunday at 0330. We'd been on 4775 for a few weeks, but beginning in March, they shifted again to 4840. In fact, it's all the way from 0300 to 1200 UT. Not yet clear what will happen once the DST shift goes into effect in mid-March. However, if they stay on that frequency and 5070 still before 0300, we'll be back on 5070 since World Radio time will shift to 0230. And there should be another usual frequency and time shift for our Friday 2130 broadcast, which has been on 7465, that one changing to Friday at 2030 on 15825. WTWW has been on the air more or less continuously since February 28th, 9480 between 12 and midnight UT and 5755 from midnight to 12. They had live coverage for many hours during the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville for 3 days, and filling, it seems, all the rest of the time with Pastor Pete Peters. Another harmonic I found on the 18 megahertz band is from WINB, 18530, 2 times 9265. And by the way, they've changed to carry Brother Scare in the mornings before and after 1400. One more item from shortwave transmitter builder Jamie Labadia, this one about Vanuatu. He just got back from there. As of February 24th, 5055 was on the air with 3,500 watts, 3945 at 7,000 watts. But due to unstable AC power infrastructure, he says, I had to design the protection circuits to be very sensitive. The systems fold back the transmitters to 2,000 watts if they sense any kind of spike or surge in AC power feeds. It may take the staff a few days to respond and clear the fault mode power cutback, so there's a good chance you may be hearing them at only 2,000 watts at certain times. I wanted to be sure they would remain on the air, but with no catastrophic failures. The antennas are two fan dipoles in phase side by side, north by northwest and south-southeast. Unfortunately, the U.S. is in the null of both services. Bernie O'Shea and Brian Clark have found out probably why Zanzibar has been missing from 11735. The submarine cable bringing power from the mainland failed on December 10th. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued March 2nd, ANK indices mostly 5 and 2. Solar flux dropping from 85 March 6th to 13th to 78 March 19th to 28th. That's World of Radio 1502. Glenn Hauser inviting you to hear me again next week.